All right, let's call this meeting to order. We are Ethics Review Commission at City Hall Room 1027, and the time is 6:01. Please call the roll.
J. Michael O'Hurry.
Present.
Peter Einhorn.
Present.
Donna Beth McCormick is not here yet. Louise Silberon.
Present.
Deborah Danberg.
Here.
Trey Gober.
Present.
Brian Thompson.
Here.
Ben Stratman is not here. Mary Kell.
Here.
And Dennis Spake.
Here. Quorum appears to be present. Our first order on here is item number one, general citizens communication. Are there anybody present? Here's not. We don't have any executive session need. We'll move past that. New business, 3A, amendments to the city code, chapter 2.7, related to anti-discrimination, anti-harassment policies, application to the board and commission members. I know we have a working group on this, but I'd like to ask Lynn if she would outline what we have in front of us in our packet.
Mr. Commissioner McGober, did y'all meet?
We never met. Donna replied and said she didn't think it was necessary, and I think the language had been cleared up before we had a new meeting.
The chair, at my recommendation, appointed a working group where we had a much more broad anti-discrimination, anti-harassment ordinance. And so between the time of actually getting the completed draft ordinance to the working group, it was a lot more detail was added. So the general purpose behind this is generally to, so that anti-discrimination and anti-harassment provisions, which are already in the city's personnel policies, would apply to city boards and commission members. In some respects, when these meetings take place, there is city staff there, and so it is part of the city staff workplace. On the other hand, it's also a public meeting, and there are, especially for citizens' communications, there are First Amendment provisions, and the First Amendment allows for offensive speech. So these provisions mainly apply to boards and commissions members and city staff in terms of interaction and how you as board members would speak with, communicate with the public and city staff. There's a lot more leniency for a citizen who comes in and might use offensive language because they have that First Amendment protection under the citizen communications. So the main thing that it would do and that is unique to this commission is that it adds this anti-discrimination provisions as part of the standards of conduct for the ethics code, and which would then be enforceable by this commission. In other words, if a complaint were filed against a board and commission member or even a member of city council, that would then come to this commission for consideration. So the
which would be just like conflict centers.
Right. So the second page is really the meat of the standard of conduct language. It pretty much covers anything that would be discriminatory based on sex, gender, religion, race, color, pregnancy status, genetic information, sexual orientation, gender identity, national origin, ethnicity, age, disability, veteran status, or any other legally protected class.
6:05?
I thought we were 6:30.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just left work over at elections.
Just to interrupt, let the record reflect that Donna Beth McCormick is present.
Ooh, woo.
I just had 6:00.
So we're discussing the
anti-discrimination.
Anti-discrimination, anti-harassment ordinance, which you have reviewed.
Yes, I did.
This draft ordinance would also require training of board and commission members, in addition to the application. So, that is kind of my presentation. I don't know if any of the working group members have anything to add or if there are questions.
Comments, questions?
Yes, Commissioner.
I guess, some questions I would have right now. I don't know what, action items we had in line other than just taking a look at it, but some questions I would have is, does the city code already have something that applies to personnel, and if so, what does that look like? And also wanting to know what the national, I guess, standard is for this, only because I don't want to wade in the waters that are even uncertain or haven't been gone into just yet. Because I don't want to set up a situation where someone uses this statute as a way to suppress speech, essentially. So I would kind of like to know if something already exists. What does it look like? How does this differ? Kind of what the national standard is on this.
So for your first question about the city code, the city code does have some similar provisions in it in terms of, I guess the most similar provision would apply to housing. In regard to personnel, the city council reviews and adopts the personnel policies, and so the personnel policies probably most specifically mirror this. Creed is included in the personnel policies, and we had some back and forth discussion about whether creed should be included or not, and so the decision was made to not include creed because some believe creed is intended to just be a broader version of religion, and yet if you look it up in the dictionary, creed can be as broad as any belief that someone would have, which would pretty much water down the other language to make it, you know, I mean, your creed could be could be discriminatory against specific protected class, and so that in and of itself could just water, make all the rest of it meaningless. I do not know the national standard for this ordinance, my understanding, and this is proposed to city council through the city clerk's office. If all of you who don't know Jeanette Goodall is here, she's our city clerk. But I think that was really in part because council recommended that the
council
city clerk come forward with this. Is that right?
They directed us to come back with an amendment to 2-1.
So, this is really a council request for this, and that it be done through the city clerk's office, who consulted with the law department. I can answer your first questions, at least broadly in terms of what is the national standard. I cannot tell you.
And action item wise, it's for our edification. They're moving forward on it when?
December 13th, is, so unless you wanted to take a look at it again on at your December 12th meeting, this would be your opportunity to
give feedback.
And they want the Ethics Commission to be the arbiter? Because I look at this, it's language that is offensive to somebody based on their veteran status. For instance, if I say something disparaging about the U.S. military in a commission meeting, is that disparaging of somebody's veteran status? I may not intend it that way, but it could certainly be perceived that way. I'm not super interested in getting involved in this process.
Well, and I think that is all fair feedback for this commission to provide. Is it, you know, would there be reason for commission to, you know, or any board and commission, is that an too high of an expectation that board and commission members could not say anything that would be,
I mean, some of these
I'm
are
trying to look
obvious,
at the most broad language,
obvious,
but that would be an insult to any protected group.
I guess what I'm just trying to figure out is the ways in which people redress certain situations. So, for example, in the private sector, if I go out and I say something that's patently offensive to someone, the reason there are laws that exist is so my colleague doesn't feel that there's a hostile work environment, they can't come to work. Of course, the boss could fire them, but if there's just this closed community, the law has to step in and say, you don't belong here, right? That's the only way that private citizen will have redress. But from a commission member standpoint, I don't understand why the city council member just couldn't remove them from the commission. I mean, if someone said or did something that was so unrepresentative of what the values of this community are, there's a way in which to remove them from that situation. Like a normal citizen can contact the council member, contact the mayor, say something needs to be done about this. I'm kind of just echoing what Peter said. It seems like it really opens the door for people to find offenses. And if, I mean, if this 2016 election has taught us anything, the country is very divided on what it considers to be offensive and not to be offensive.
Absolutely.
It's true.
Commissioner Thompson.
Was there ever any discussion of having this managed and determined by the Human Rights Commission rather than this commission? As a former member of the Human Rights Commission, it seems like it's more, I mean, they're the ones that enforce the non-discrimination ordinance more generally, along with the EEOC office of the city.
There was not that discussion, but that is certainly appropriate for this commission to make that recommendation, or for this commission to say, we think the Human Rights Commission should weigh in, or we would defer to the Human Rights Commissioner. I mean, that's totally appropriate for this commission to recommend that change be made or considered.
Now's the time to give them the feedback. If this is not something we think this commission should take on, or have a suggestion for someone else to do it, some other commission to do it.
This commission already has to wade through a lot of gray area and come to determinations on a lot of different areas. I'm not
probably why they wanted us to have it.
I'm not dying to expand the jurisdiction and go wading deeper into the gray area.
Well, I think of,
go ahead.
I think about, and this goes to what Commissioner Heary was saying, and I come back to this example a lot for whatever reason when we're talking about these issues. I come back to Councilmember Zimmerman and his appointees to the various commissions. He is not someone who would have removed someone for offensive language. In fact, a lot of our hearings during that time were because of what I consider somewhat offensive actions by people in his commission, and including in his, himself as well. But here's my worry, is that he made it his purpose in this room and on the council more generally to assail any regulation, whether that be campaign finance or more speech-related regulations. And a lot of times it was aimed at things that we regulate as a commission, things that I believe in and things that I think should be regulated. I think if we tack this on to our, to what we do, I think it gives someone like a council member Zimmerman, a former council member Zimmerman, the opportunity to say, now they're even regulating speech more heavily than they were when they were just administering the election rules or the campaign finance rules. Now they're basically telling people what they can and can't say. And some of the language here, examples of prohibited conduct include comments based on a protected class. Now I know you have to go read the first part to get there. You know, it says no city official employee shall engage in conduct or use language that is offensive, harassing, sexually suggestive, or hostile. And then you go down, example is comments based on a protected class. Man, that is broad. I don't know, I feel like some of the times when I've been yelling and screaming at people that are sitting on that side of the table, I don't think I've done that, but hell, I don't know. It gets pretty heated up in here, especially when I'm talking. So I don't know. It just seems a little broad to me. And it, I don't know if it's something we should take on. That's why I brought up the Human Rights Commission.
Yes, ma'am. Commissioner Denberg.
It's my observation that even the Supreme Court right now, all of whom are very, very, very experienced lawyers and have been judges before, are not getting this right the way I would want them to get it right sometimes. To put it into this group and expect us to get it right when you're dealing with very, very current and very polarized constitutional issues, it's pretty tough stuff.
So let me ask this. The working group that was set up is made up of Commissioner Gober, Luis, and Donovan. Is this something that the commission wants to ask them to weigh in on? I mean, we don't have time. You know, we got one meeting one day before council is set to vote on this. And my understanding is city clerk's here to provide some comments to Councilwoman Poole as to what she hears here about this. So
I don't
know.
Me.
She's carrying this at the council.
I don't know.
Councilmember Poole is the only one that asked me to.
I don't know that she's
know.
Carrying it so,
yeah.
So much. It was questioned by the council's holder. Commissioner Campbell.
I have a question. Could you repeat for me, if we don't take this up, where it will be handled going forward? I mean, if we don't take responsibility for this ordinance and we decide that it's not in our purview, where is the purview going to be?
At this point, the council's giving it to us.
Okay.
By putting it in this portion of the
okay.
code.
But it's a draft ordinance.
Right.
And certainly if this commission feels like it's not appropriate for this commission or there's another commission that would more appropriately should hear these types of complaints, then you know, council wants your feedback as a commission.
Commissioner Thompson, I have a question for you. When you served on the Human Rights Commission, did y'all hear these regularly?
I can't recall us ever hearing a case involving a city employee or official. We certainly heard cases from the community more broadly. There was a case involving a ballet company that had left, or well, I don't know, it was a dispute, but the allegation was that someone had left a nasty note in the car of two women who were lesbians. I remember that case. But I don't remember specifically, you know, city employees or officials. The only thing I was gonna add is, there's something again not right. Doesn't sit right with me. You can go out in the community. You can say nasty things. You can be a bigot. You can be a racist. You can be a homophobe. I don't necessarily know if that's an ethics issue. Maybe it's a morality issue. Maybe it's a you're not a good person issue. But sometimes I think that we should limit what comes before this. I mean, our name is the Ethics Review Commission, not the speech police.
Not the banners police.
And I don't know. I think that, I don't know, it just doesn't seem like, I see how it fits into the way the code is structured.
Yeah.
I just don't know if it fits the framework of what we're really supposed to be doing.
And I don't remember who mentioned it, but I mean, certainly I would assume whether this passes or not, council members have the ability to remove whoever they want to remove along the way.
Let's talk about that for a second, because is there a provision in code for the removal of somebody who's been appointed and approved by the council, short of their term expiring? I mean, there are processes for removal for grounds, but if somebody says something I don't like as a council member, can I just say, you know what, I don't want you to, you're not my commission representative anymore?
My expectation is that council is would prefer that they get a recommendation from some board or commission on that before they.
So council can remove them, but not
yes.
the individual council member?
Correct.
Yes.
Well.
But even then, they want a recommendation, it sounds like. Is that fair?
In some circumstances, I think a council member can remove an appointee, but in some circumstances.
Or could they just.
Am I wrong on that?
Recommend they be removed?
Come join us.
Yeah.
You said this was going to be a quick meeting.
Oh, I tried. I can't prevent questions.
Basically, the way it works is because the individual council member makes a nomination, not the appointment. Council approves the nomination, and therefore the council as a whole would have to approve the recommendation to remove an appointed.
A majority of the council.
Yes.
But that doesn't stop a council member from asking.
Not from asking, no. Asking them to
resign. Bring the motion, put it on the agenda. Yeah, they can do that. Yes, sir. Commissioner Thompson.
And then I'll stop talking.
Well.
Our ethics rules, I think, already are often used as a toy in the political warfare that goes on during campaign season, especially, but outside of campaign season. We're about to see it again. This, to me, is just another, you know, arrow in the quiver of someone who wants to go after someone on a commission that they don't like. Well, you said something mean to me. I mean, I know that's not what this is, but it could be used that way. And one thing we don't have, like a court has, is kind of the ability to prevent someone from bringing that kind of claim. You know, we don't have a sanctions tool or a summary judgment type thing. I mean, I just don't want our time being wasted.
And if we have jurisdiction, we have jurisdiction. And
yeah.
So it has to come.
I mean, we've gotten better about my point towards you, because you were the one that did this first, but like the jurisdictional stuff where it's actually outside the jurisdiction, we can summarily dismiss those cases, but, you know.
Just put it squarely on our feet. Commissioner Kale.
The other issue is, suppose a case came before us and we found that the person had engaged in such behavior. Well, then what? It doesn't really say too much about what our recourse is if we were to find someone who had done these things.
Would that point back to our sanctions?
It's the same as any other ethical violation.
We can reprimand.
Okay.
Okay.
Well,
recommendation. Recommend
removal.
Recommendation
for removal?
Yes, is there.
You have that power to recommend.
But again, it goes back to council. So it's council asking for an entity at this point.
And I do appreciate, the fact that they're seeking, you know, a due process. I'm just not sure I want to be that due process. Speaking just for myself.
Yeah, go.
Isn't it when it's using the language legally protected class, isn't that adopting a standard that already exists? I mean, I'm not an employment law attorney, but isn't that in and of itself saying whatever that standard is for legally protected class, you know, even if it were to change in the future? Because I think there was a question about, you know, what's the national standard?
Well, the protected class is spelled out in this statute. It tells you.
Well, but it says or.
Other legally
protected class. I think you, Trey, hit it on the head. I think it's kind of built into that they're another class that is legally protected. Because this is about as broad. I don't know. I mean, certainly at the federal level, these are not all protected statuses, because sexual orientation
right.
is not protected at the federal level. So I think this is trying to name kind of all the specifics and then you have catch-all
legally protected
that would
class.
Gather up anything that later on is protected also.
Correct. For example, there are some provisions in here that are only protected under city law. Sexual orientation, gender identity, genetic information, those are not are part of the city law, but not state or federal.
Commissioner McCoy?
I just think there needs to be a little something about having some wiggle room in here.
Well, there's all kinds of wiggle room in.
Well, no, we're pretty much named. It's like in a job description or other duties as assigned. I don't see.
No, there's no wiggle room to the assignment.
I'm not sure I want more wiggle room than that.
Yeah, I mean there's a lot in it.
There's a lot in it, but
otherwise it goes right back to what Brian was saying, where we become the thought police. And if you've ever hurt somebody's feelings or insulted them, well, you've hurt my feelings or insulted me. Now you've violated something based on my
beliefs. And we could say, grow up.
Commissioner Danberg.
If anybody in here thinks that the protections already offered by the city of Austin are too a protected class and only a protected class, you didn't see any of the transgender bathroom bills last session in their debates. There are a lot of people and circumstances that Austin protects, thank goodness, that don't make you a protected class other than in the city of Austin by city officials.
In other words, you're saying there's more coverage under city than state and federal.
By light years.
Sure,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. And I, just to kind of echo what's already been said, but one concern I have is just in terms of where the city wants to go in advance. And what makes Austin great is that it is a progressive town, it is a liberal town, but that requires people to talk things out. And if the answer is going to be some commission member said something while talking it out that upset me, then people are going to retreat from ever having conversations. It's not my job to make policy decisions, but just in terms of our this body having to litigate those, might just open up a big can of worms.
Well, but part of this commission's job is to make recommendations to council on changes in the ethics code. So it's certainly appropriate for this body to say, we don't think this should be a part of the ethics code. I can read the Human Rights Commission, just there's a short paragraph, you wanna hear what their
jurisdiction is.
Yeah, so Human Rights Commission, I'm just reading from the website, advise and consult with City Council on all matters involving racial, religious, or ethnic discrimination and devise practices to promote equal opportunity. Advisory body on non-discrimination policies, aid in forming local community groups, investigate complaints of prejudice and discrimination, and conduct educational programs. Secure for all individuals in the city freedom from discrimination because of race, color, disability, religion, sex, national origin, sexual orientation, gender identity, or age. And then it refers to 21148 for additional duties.
Is the Human Rights, the Human Rights Commission a sovereign commission?
I think it's I'm not sure. It really depends on what their authority is for investigating and acting on complaints. But
it used to, I mean, when I was on it, I was the vice chair of it, and appeals of EEOC determinations on employment matters came before the Human Rights Commission, so I can't imagine it wasn't sovereign. But it may have changed, that was many years ago.
Hearing that jurisdictional description, I don't want to short circuit it, but is there a recommendation that we would like to send up?
I have a motion for a recommendation, and while I won't go so far as to throw the Human Rights Commission under the bus, I would move that we recommend to council that they not place this within the jurisdiction of the Ethics Review Commission.
I second that.
There's a second. Any discussion?
Repeat that.
Is there a way to deliver this kind of with a message?
As long as there's no discriminatory language.
Sure. I mean, but I agree with the motion and the reason why is my big concern, and I think council member Poole, of all people, should understand this, who, by the way, is my council member, appointed by her, is that the stuff that we do is already under such assault by kind of the free speech crowd that getting some division from what we do on our day-to-day basis, which is campaign finance regulation, ethics regulation, that kind of stuff, which is already, you know, in the courts now, and this type of regulation, I think, would be smart.
Any other discussion? Talk about, did you hear the motion? Do you understand the motion? You asked me to clarify it.
Go ahead and repeat it.
It's just a motion to make a recommendation to council that they not place this within the jurisdiction of the Ethics Review Commission.
And it was seconded by Commissioner Kayle.
Mm-hmm.
Any further discussion? Discussion?
Okay.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Say
we have
aye.
Enough to do.
Those opposed? No opposed? Unanimously passed. All those present. Okay. Shall we leave it to you to have a discussion with Commissioner Poole, or would you like to sort of?
I can, yeah.
Obviously, they'll get this recommendation from us. Maybe further suggest that the Human Rights Commission might be a place to look at, but it didn't come out as a recommendation of the commission. Okay.
I have a question. Would it also be appropriate, I don't know if it's right, to maybe cede authority to Brian or to a working group to write some message or some statement as to why the Ethics Review Commission doesn't want to move forward with it? I think the spirit of this is absolutely a good idea. I don't want to just be some
quick
statement.
Right.
Yeah, we don't
want
to do this.
And I'm happy to deliver that message to Councilmember Poole on a more informal basis. Because I absolutely agree with the spirit of this. I think that it's not appropriate for us.
And the mayor's comes to the area is here, so he'll carry the message back to the mayor.
How will this get transmitted from you to council?
So I will prepare our standard recommendation with the language of the motion for council, and then in terms of the discussion, I don't pass that along, but again, Commissioner Thompson will do that. I'm sure city clerk will pass that on.
Is there a place to put a preamble that we agree with the general sentiment of what is trying to be accomplished?
There you can provide rash there. So in a recommendation, here's the language of the motion, but there's also room for a rationale, and you can provide the language that you want and the rationale for the council recommendation. So
of course, the danger of putting something like my concern in the rationale of the recommendation is that it's later used to say, you had concerns about the free speech component of this regulation, so much so that you didn't want it in the Ethics Commission. But that's...
I guess we can leave it as it is. I'm just, individual council members can reach out to us, and we can reach out to them as well.
And representatives thereof have been here to hear the discussion, so...
Also being recorded.
Fair enough.
There's that.
Fair enough.
And posted to the website.
Okay.
But I would encourage you to talk to your council members as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Very good.
Thank you, Jeanette.
Thanks, Jeanette. Next item on the agenda is 3B. In front of you, you have the 2019 meeting schedule proposal in two forms. Obviously, we're adhering to our norm, second Wednesday of each month, starting in January 9th. That's the second day of session. Meeting still at 6 p.m. with the exceptions of when we can't be at City Council, it'll be at 6:30 over at One Texas Center.
January 9th, we probably can be here.
Okay.
It's all up to you, given what may be on the agenda going forward.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
It depends on scheduling. Basically, you adopt the calendar, and then the city clerk's office determines if they have space.
Put us where they can fit us.
I'll move to approve the calendar.
So what I'm saying is that January 9th is the second Wednesday of the month, and we can have it here at 6 o'clock.
If need, if schedule works. Okay, or.
Well, if any of this works.
We may need the space at the other place, though.
So we can change it to here, and I still have One Texas Center reserved.
Okay. I think we can still do that.
Are you saying that we should, you suggest we make a change to that to say, to strike OTC at 6:30? And just have January 9th here, unless we're advised otherwise.
Can we just put an or on it? That way we have the option.
Yeah,
well, we can remove the location and time.
Yeah, that's what, I was under the impression we're just approving dates.
Yes,
yeah.
That's
that
what I believe as well.
Yeah, I'm just moving to approve the dates.
Okay. I second.
Okay.
So take out One Texas Center?
Yeah. We're approving the dates only at this point.
Yeah, okay.
Any discussion?
Any discussion of staff and the chair.
Any discussion?
And the time? We're taking out the
take
six
the time out.
Take
yeah.
the times out. Typically, there'll be 6 or 6:30. But all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The ayes have it. All those present? Voting in the affirmative. Item 5, approval of meeting minutes from the September special call meeting on the 19th.
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Meeting minutes approved by all those present?
I abstain.
Oh, you abstain, sorry. One abstention. Okay, future agenda items.
And since I was 5 minutes late, and then I miss out on the status of
well,
what we
no.
have pending.
No, we're going
to. Okay, you're going to take it up now. Okay.
I'm going to discuss what all we have heading our direction here shortly. and for scheduling talk only, not substance. Commissioner Thompson?
To show y'all how. How supportive I am of regulating speech after just having this whole thing about not doing that. I had talked to staff about the issue related to, and I'm not deliberating, tell me if I start deliberating. The issue related to the Indy PAC, the Independent Austin, I think it's Indy Austin
yeah.
PAC, the political advertisement that had the Pepe the Frog in it. I had kind of done my own review of the rules to try to determine whether that might be a possibility or grounds for an ethics complaint, which even I guess I could file. I couldn't find any law on that. However, I still think that it might be something that we may want to investigate, regardless of whether it's a complaint or not. And so I wanted to put an action item on the agenda about that, and I'd asked staff to maybe just do a brief review to see if they thought that was appropriate. Even if it's not a technical ethics complaint, whether we could still look into it. And I don't know if there's been an answer on that yet. But.
Since it's not an agenda item,
yeah.
I can't give a
sure.
substantive statement
sure.
on that, but certainly it's appropriate to put it on a future agenda to be
determined.
At the Tribune Commission to discuss whether there should be an investigation or a complaint.
Okay.
If you need a co-sponsor, I'm happy to.
Any other future agenda items before I move to our next meeting discussion? So our next meeting is December 12th. There were 2 complaints, the Rodriguez complaint and the Graves complaint, that quite frankly could have gone to this meeting. The reason why this one's going to be so short is because both of them were pushed. One for scheduling, actually both of them really for scheduling purposes. Councils couldn't be available and just couldn't get it scheduled. So We will see both of those in December, correct? For their preliminary? Well, one's not a preliminary.
One's a final, right?
One's a final.
Graves is a final, the Rodriguez complaint, and Graves was really about evidence not being turned over.
That's right.
And.
So when you say, you mean the reason why it was pushed?
Correct.
Okay.
The Rodriguez complaint, the request was that it be, and the parties agreed to postpone it to December or January. Based on, I sent you an email with the reason, I'm not sure.
When was that complaint originally filed?
There are privacy issues that prevent me from reading.
When was that complaint originally filed? This has been out there for a while.
August.
Yeah, it's been out there for a while.
Yep.
And then we've received, 4 complaints since then. 3 campaign finance and 1 that's a conflict of interest. And we got another complaint today on secondary employment. Just received it today.
From the auditor's office?
So.
So we have,
December.
Three campaign finance and 1 expenditures?
No.
Secondary.
No, 1 is conflict of interest.
Conflict of interest, and then another one that is beyond that.
So, the grant, that brings the grant total to 7, 8 outstanding?
2, 5, yeah, 7.
7 preliminary and 1 final, or?
8, I believe.
Wait, no.
We count today.
We're gonna have a lot of special.
Any help of any of those being summarily?
Yeah, jurisdiction.
Actually, there are some constitutional questions on it.
There are 2 that, could go quickly, and the chair actually asked me to forward some information to the complainants to see if they want to continue to proceed, so.
Okay.
Not received a response back on those were 2 were campaign finance. So,
so this discussion for scheduling purposes, just realize that probably December and January and maybe even February at this point will be long meetings.
So no eggnog and caroling in December.
Yes.
And I think the reason dawning on me that Sue had put 1 Texas Center on the January is in anticipation that this room might not be big enough
space.
Everybody that would show up for hearing.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Maybe the space. Any other future items under
because
6?
Rodriguez is coming on January maybe.
Anybody have a anybody have a highly privileged one? Move what?
Then we get to go home.
Second. It's been seconded. All those in favor?
I can make it home for my kids.
All opposed? We're adjourned.
Time.
Oh, adjourned at.
Damn, y'all.
6:45.
It was Sue. I was just translating Sue.
No, I was trying to get it done in 30 minutes.
So just,